From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. We have a correction to a story about a COVID-19 outbreak in Juneau that we aired yesterday. The story overstated the number of cases linked to a single event. Juneau city officials on Wednesday said at least 9 cases were linked to the large gathering, not 19, as City Manager Rory Watt said initially. And on Wednesday, appointments for Juneau's drive-through COVID-19 testing site got booked up, and its phone hotline was busy for much of the day. That after city officials recommended that many bar patrons, even those without symptoms, get tested because of an outbreak affecting several bar workers. The city is holding a pop-up testing event this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Centennial Hall. Testing will be available from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., specifically for people who have visited bars recently. The city also announced narrower criteria for which bargoers should test. The specifics are posted at juneau.org. They include dates, mask wearing practices, and social bubble considerations. City officials say appointments are not necessary, but to expect a wait. Meanwhile, the Red Dog Saloon announced its temporary closure, as did the restaurant Salt, joining Devil's Club Brewing Company, the Triangle, the Narrows, and the Alaskan. Squires had closed Saturday. It announced it was reopening Wednesday afternoon. Tracy LaBarge owns Salt, which had only recently reopened since the initial shutdown. Then one of her employees tested positive, which she thinks was related to this outbreak.
You know, our businesses are suffering enough, and to have to close again after only being open for 10 days sucks.
She says the decision itself was straightforward, and she says it's a good wake-up call. She'll start requiring her employees to be more serious about their social habits. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to impact the Northwest Arctic borough, local stakeholders remain concerned over a steady rise in positive cases in the region. As KOTZ's Wesley Early reports, while village communities have had more success in preventing the spread of the virus, the hub city of Kotzebue is still struggling.
Kotzebue City Manager Tom Atkinson provided an update to various community entities during a special meeting on Wednesday.
The current risk level for village communities is improving, while Kotzebue continues to experience an increase in positive cases.
Citing a report from local healthcare provider Manilik Association, Atkinson says more than half of the positive cases in the Northwest Arctic Borough were travel-related. Just over 20% were from community transmission, with slightly more from secondary transmission. Speaking on behalf of the Northwest Arctic Borough, Carl Weisner expressed two concerns over COVID-19, mandating testing and mandating quarantines. He highlighted two recent instances where individuals had taken a virus test and had continued to interact with the community while awaiting results. They later tested positive.
In the first case, I think it was at least 10 families that may have been in direct contact with that positive because they had attended a baby shower. And the second one, there was as many as 40 close contacts.
Northwest Arctic Borough Mayor Lucy Nelson has continued to extend a hunker-down order for the region since March, mandating face masks in public, prohibiting non-essential travel within the borough, and requiring that travelers submit to a COVID-19 test or provide proof of a negative test result before traveling throughout the area. Most of the village governments have taken their restrictions a step further, restricting travel into their communities to only residents. However, Kotzebue City Attorney Joe Evans says that as a second-class city, Kotzebue doesn't have that type of jurisdiction.
We can't mandate that Alaska Airlines not accept travelers to Kotzebue, or that the state of Alaska somehow not allow people to land at the hub airport. We just don't have the jurisdiction to do that.
Evans says that the city of Kotzebue's hunker down mandate mirrors the one from the borough. In both cases, he says the mandates serve as precautionary guidelines for residents.
To my knowledge, no one in the state has been arrested or prosecuted or charged with anything for not following local mandates. It's an education process. Even the state of Alaska has said that what we need to do is educate people. We're not into having COVID-19 police.
Evans says the only way he currently knows of penalizing somebody for violating these guidelines would be if they already knew they were positive virus. They would be charged with reckless endangerment, and that case would be handled by the state. For now, Evans says the city of Kotzebue has put forth an update to their previous emergency orders, continuing to urge residents to wear a mask in public, stay home when possible, and avoid large groups. He also says the city that travelers take a COVID-19 test before coming into Kotzebue and go into quarantine as they await results. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Now we have some non-coronavirus-related news. Vision Maker Media's first Indigenous online film festival is showcasing three films focused on stories about Alaska Native and First Nations history. The films are part of the festival's History and Environment Showcase and are available to watch for a limited time this week. I spoke to the filmmakers for this story. Director Christopher Watsa-Stay-Ochter preserves a special moment in the Haida's recent past with his short documentary, Now's the Time. Ochter brings the viewer back to a day in 1969 when a totem pole was raised in the village of Old Masset on Haida Gwaii, just south of the Alaska Panhandle. It was the first time a totem pole had been raised there in almost a century after a decades-long ban on First Nations art and culture. Ochter weaves archival footage with interviews of community elders who were there that day, as well as the totem pole's carvers Robert and Reg Davidson. He also uses animation to bring Haida art to life.
Imagine your world without art. Now imagine if you were the one to help bring it back.
Ochter says he was inspired by Barbara Wilson, a community leader who helped bring the National Film Board of Canada to produce a film from the original footage in 1969. But Wilson was pushed out of the post-production process and didn't see the film for another 50 years. Ochter says when she finally did, she wasn't happy with the end result. So he took up the task of directing the new documentary.
I didn't know about this story going into it and going, oh, wow, this happened. And then every time I dug into the story a little more, it came clear that it was such a pivotal moment in our recent history.
When the totem pole is finally raised, Haida people celebrate with dancing and a potlatch. And Ochter says the totem is still there today.
Yes, it is. It's in marvelous shape. I think it put other 50-year-olds to shame. It looks so good, yeah.
Now is the Time is one of three films focused in and around Alaska showcased in Vision Maker's first Indigenous online film festival this week. The others go back a little further in history in a two-part documentary miniseries titled Akayak Tikarius, Lived Knowledge and Stories in Stone about preserving Alutiiq Supiaq culture. The films take place on Kodiak Island where Sven Håkansson Jr. grew up.
I have a responsibility to make sure that we are able to share this knowledge with communities by bringing it home and giving the knowledge back to our community so that they can have it in a living context.
Håkansson is a curator at Burke Museum in Seattle. He's interviewed in both films about his efforts to preserve the past on Kodiak Island. In Lived Knowledge, Håkansson shares his perspective of building a traditional Alutiiq kayak.
What do you learn from building a boat? Well, you learn patience. You learn that your assumptions are probably wrong. And you gain a deep respect for the people that were actually making these boats.
In Stories in Stone, he shows what it takes to document the 7,500-year-old petroglyphs carved in the rocks near the village of Akiak. The ancient carvings are being eroded because of rising sea levels and increasingly strong storms. And while both documentaries are centered on the old, Håkansson says he also learned something new during one of his visits to Akiak. One day, while he was pecking on the rocks where the petroglyphs are carved, a seal popped out of the water.
I was sitting there pecking, and I was like, oh, look, there's a seal. Like, I didn't think anything of it. And then all of a sudden, it popped up even closer. And I was like, oh. And so I tested it out, tested it out again. But at the end of the week, and I was like, wow, that actually worked.
All three films are available to watch for free on Vision Maker's first Indigenous online film festival page until Monday, September 14th. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña. The Bureau of Ocean Energy Management announced Wednesday that it plans to study the environmental impacts of a potential lease sale in Alaska's Cook Inlet. It'd be the first federal oil and gas lease sale in the inlet since 2017. While there are oil and gas production platforms in the state off Alaska's South Central Coast, there are none in its federal waters. This is KTOO News.